Anacapa. The boat left at 8 a.m., and that wouldn't have presented a problem, or not especially, if Damien hadn't been in town. But then Damien was the whole reason for being here on this dock in the first place. The two of them hunkered over styrofoam cups of coffee and shuffling in place with an assemblage of 30 or so males and two females, one of whom would turn out to be the deckhand, waiting in a kind of suppressed frenzy to board and lay claim to the prime spots along the rail. Hunter didn't like boats. Didn't especially like fish or fishing. But Damien did. And Damien, his roommate at college 14 years ago and a deep well of inspiration and irritation ever since, always got his way. Which was in part why 8 a.m. was such an impossible hour on this martyred morning with the sun dissolved in mist and the gulls keening and his heart pounding and his stomach shrunk down to nothing. The other part of it, the complicating factor, was alcohol. Gin, to be specific. They'd drunk gin the night before because gin was what they'd drunk in college. Gin and tonic, the drink of liberation, the drink of spring break and summer vacation and the delirium of Friday and Saturday nights in the student clubs with the student bands pounding away and the girls burning like scented candles. Never mind that Hunter stuck almost exclusively to wine these days and had even become something of a snob about it. Right over the hill in the San Ynez Valley, best vineyards in the world, he'd tell anyone who would listen. Last night it was gin. It had started in the airport lounge when he'd arrived an hour early for Damien's flight and heard himself say gin and tonic to the bartender as if a ventriloquist were speaking for him. He'd had three by the time Damien arrived, and then for the rest of the night, wherever they went, the gin, which had managed to smell almost exactly like the scent of the jet fuel leaching in through the open windows, continued to appear in neat little glasses with rectangular cubes of ice and wedges of lime till he and Damien collapsed at the apartment 5 short hours ago. He stared blearily down at the blistered boards of the dock and the tired sea churning beneath them. For a long moment, he watched a drift of refuse jerking to and fro in the wash beneath the pilings, and then he leaned forward to drop a bowl of spit into the place where, he supposed, waxing philosophical, all spit had originated. Spit to spit. The great sea. The Lhasa. Roll on. The water was gray here, transparent to a depth of 3 or 4 feet, imbued with the smell of fish gone bad. He spat again, watching transfixed as the glistening fluid, product of his own body, spiraled through the air to vanish in the foam. And what was spit, anyway? A secretion of the salivary glands, serving to moisten food and women's lips. His first wife, Andrea, didn't like to kiss while they were having sex. She always turned her head away as if lips had nothing to do with it. Cece, who'd left him 3 weeks ago, had been different. In his wallet, imprisoned behind a layer of
Sample complete. Ready to continue?